Let's remain standing for the scripture reading. It's taken from 1 John 4:20 to 21 and Colossians chapter 3 verse 14. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 14 he says, and overall these virtues put on love, which binds them together, all together in perfect unity. This is the word of God. Please be seated. We want to welcome Pastor Josh, you know, to come up for the sharing.
Good afternoon. I was here since morning, so I ought to say good morning. It's just a good afternoon. Yes, how are all of you? Hobo, are you good? I'm happy to be back. Yeah, and thank you for welcoming me. Yes, you know, I send greetings from YUM Ubon. But before I begin, let us pray. Father, I want to thank you. Thank you that you are here. Lord, your word says when two or more are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. You are here. Lord, we do not want to hear the word of a man. We want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. You are our teacher. You are our helper, our guide. Come, Holy Spirit, come and touch all of our hearts. Prepare us to hear your word. And Lord, I pray today as we hear your word, we will be set free. God, I want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I send greetings from YUM Ubon. Do you know that, you know, my guys, they're praying. They're praying while I'm sharing. I tell them, hey, I'm going to share. I say, yes, they will pray. You know, and they are excited as well. Now, we want to thank God for Agape Church, Agape Christian Center, for being part of our ministry. For these many years, you know, the partnership, then the relationship that has been forged, you know, and the blessing that you guys have been to us. We would not have done what we are doing without people coming alongside us and encouraging us. So on behalf of YUM Ubon, on behalf of all of my staff, we want to say thank you. All right, and the picture here is our land. You know, June last year, after about 3 years or 4 years of delay or work building the place, we finally moved to Samrong. And in this, just share a little bit about this picture. All right, in the middle building, okay, this whole place is 3 bedroom and 2 bathroom with a kitchen, and you know, it's very nice actually. In the middle, it will be our office, right? And the building on the right will be a house for a foster home for abandoned babies. All right, teenage pregnancy is rampant. A lot of babies are being thrown away, you know, and we want to set up a foster home where we'll take in the babies, love them, nurture them, and then get them adopted to good Christian family that they can grow up in a loving home environment. And the house on the left, it's a safe house for women and children at risk. All right, abused women, abused children, also those who have been rescued from trafficking. Trafficking is a big scourge on planet Earth today. And in this region in Southeast Asia, it is very, very rampant. All right, when before coming here, about 2 days prior to coming back, I attended a meeting with social welfare, you know, about human trafficking. You know, there was a story of 18 Thais being rescued, they actually got a job in a European country, supposed to get a good pay to harvest fruits, but they ended up being slave over there. They were rescued, they were brought back. They are actually from Ubon. Another case was about 13 youth under the age of 18 were rescued. Three of them was sold as prostitutes, and the rest were working in a bar or restaurant, and they will have to provide services to their client. They have been rescued. You know, and there were two Laotian girls as well that have been rescued, and one Chinese person who was supposed to be transported over to our neighboring country to work as in the call center. You know, so we have cases like this very, very often, not only in Ubon, but throughout Thailand. So we thank God that we are able to partner the social welfare, engage us to work with them. Yeah, so right now we are praying. We are applying for permit for both house. So pray that the permit will be approved, that we can get going. And on top of that, because of the ministry that is expanding, we need staff. We are praying for at least minimum of 8 staff this year. So far, so good. There'll be about 5 who are committed to be part of our team. Yes, and so we pray for the other 3. Yeah. And this is another portion of the other side of the road of our building, and that is our worship hall. And that the 2 double-story is housing for staff. Still not enough. We're going to build a training center where we run training for both the Thais and international students to know God and to make Him known. And with that, they can go out and preach the gospel. I like the last song that you guys sang earlier about go. Tell me where to go, I'll go, that song. Cannot quite remember the lyrics. Something like that. Right, and I was listening, I was just thinking, my 19-year-old daughter is right now in Papua New Guinea, traversing rivers, mountains, and hills to villages to preach the gospel. You know, she's 19 years old, she's standing and preaching in churches, sharing testimony, and all because after she finished her high school, she said, Dad, I want to spend it 1 year to seek God. So, and I want to do a DTS. That's what she did. I said, where do you want to go? She went to Tasmania to do her 3 months of lecture, and then 3 months of outreach, 2 months in Papua New Guinea, and the last 1 month, on the 1st of February, they were flying to this island called Vanuatu. They just had an earthquake, a 7.2 earthquake a month ago. So when they go there, it was just nice. They can help out with the rescue work or whatever they need to be done. All right, so that's her, 19 years old, hungry for Jesus, seeking Him. How about all you young people? Hallelujah. When you sang that song, I was like, man, they sang with so much gusto. It's like, yeah, God, here I am, Lord. Send me. Hallelujah. Recruitment is on. All right, and last year, we had an amazing Christmas outreach. And I want to thank all of you in advance for you going to come this year to help us with our Christmas outreach. All right, this is in our land. Finally, we have our own place. There were about almost 200 villagers came down, and they got to hear testimony and the gospel message. So we want to thank God. And another, since we moved to our new district, God has opened doors. We have these 2 village heads. They were like the person of peace, bringing us to different villages, schools, open door, meeting with new village heads, and then to share the gospel. So we want to thank God. And this is inside a temple. Fancy doing an outreach inside a temple. Only Jesus can open doors like this. Amen? You know, and as we were doing our activities, songs, dance, which you guys are going to perform, right? the monks were standing around, they were watching, and they were listening to all the testimony. Thank God. Hallelujah. And before coming here, I want to share a little bit about this city that I went. It's a very persecuted place in this nation. The pastor was killed by the police. So they were without a pastor. So I went there to teach on the Holy Spirit, to encourage the believer. Well, I want to thank God that we in Singapore, we can come and worship God freely. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You know what amen means? So be it. Right? It comes from the Hebrew word amin, which means faith. Right? So when we say amen, it's by faith we agree. According to your word, we can freely worship God. Hallelujah. This morning, or this afternoon, thank God, without translator, I still got 24 minutes. this morning, I'm a bit more relaxed. I'm joking around. This morning, I was like, cut this out, cut that out, cut this out. I got to finish a message. Okay, get to the point. Today's message is walking in unity and love. What is love? Can you read this verse together? 1, 2, 3. So love is correlated with unity. For us to walk in unity, we must have love. All right? You know, since walking together with agape, you know, I say on behalf of my team as well, we felt so much love from all of you. It was genuine how you stand alongside with us, encourage us, and we were so thankful for you. But I believe even in this season, as we enter into this new year, I believe God wants to work even deeper in our heart with this thing called love. What is love? How do we measure love? I believe our love is limited. Sometimes it's corrupted. But we got to measure with the giver of love, God's love, God's standard of love. What is God's standard of love? I've been in ministry for 30 years. I mean, I started my ministry, some of you are probably not born yet, right? So 9 years I was serving as a pastor, and then I moved to Thailand. I've been there. This is my 21st year. You know, thank God for this amazing opportunity. Saw so many things. And I work in a cross-cultural environment. And I serve in a cross-cultural team. Right now, we are a small team. We only have about 8 of us. But before, we have about 24 staff. And we have staff from United States, Australia, Canada, Australia. So did I say Australia? Okay. United States, America. No, that's Canada, Australia, New Zealand. And we have all the ASEAN countries. All serving together. All together, we're 11 nationalities. Different language, different culture. Let me tell you, it looks so beautiful on the outside. Every time we have love feast, we eat all kind of food. But man, we have such big fights, misunderstanding. You know, for the Westerners, they are very, very direct. Sometimes too direct. For the Asian, the Westerner will tell you what they think. But for the Asian, sometimes you wonder what they are thinking, because they do not share. So coming together, we have fights. Apart from being a missionary, my part-time job is to be a peacemaker. I'll sit down with different people, talking with them, you know, to counsel them, asking them to forgive one another, right? But throughout that 21 years, I've learned what love is. What is the meaning of love? You know, and that's how the enemy usually operates. Bringing disunity. Breaking of relationship. If we have that, we cannot function. I'll share a story, you know, a testimony actually. You know, there was a staff. You know, he came from a very broken background. I invited him to serve with us. He came, he did his DTS, served with us, and he has some emotional issues. So, and financial issue as well. He stole from our foundation. Then he took our ministry car without permission, drove it, and met an accident. Right? I told him, it's okay. We gave him grace, continue to serve with us. But eventually he left. But before he left, he went to all the different pastors in Ubon and missionaries, and he bad-mouthed me and my staff. And then he left. And then missionary will come and talk to me. Hey, you have issue with this guy. I was like, what? What issue? Right? So things like that were happening. My staff were hurt. I was disappointed, right? I said, it's okay. I told my staff, let us forgive. And 2 months later, I went to Bangkok for a leadership meeting. And he's living in Bangkok. So I said, so I got a free evening. I will call him. Say, hey, let's meet up for dinner. He was like, so surprised to receive my call. I said, come. What do you want to eat? What's your favorite food? Let's do pepper lunch. He was so hesitant, but he came. When he came, I was normal. I said, hey, good to see you. Come, sit down. Let's have the big portion. And we were having our meal, and he was like looking down and looking at me, sizing me up, and until he could not take it anymore, he just, Pastor Joshua, I want to say sorry to you. I did this. I did that. I'm so sorry. I hurt you. I hurt the team. Blah, blah, blah. I said, bro, it is okay. I have forgiven you. I come here to fellowship with you. He's like, really? I said, yeah. You know, I have to deal with God. I cannot keep this in my heart. I got to get God to work in my heart. Amen. I said, God, over the last many years of ministry, this one thing I always ask God, God, give me your eyes so that I can see my brothers and sisters as how you see them. Or else, I would not be able to function and do what I do. Do I still got hurt? Of course. I'm not human. Hey, I'm not God. I'm not God. I'm not God. I have to rely on Him. Amen? To me, this is God's standard of love. I sense God say, I want to go deeper with my children in this house, teaching them to love the unlovable, forgiving and walking together in true unity. Let us read from Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let us read together. 1, 2, 3.
Answered correctly, Jesus replied, do this and you
Amen. The expert of the law, he knows the word of God, every letter of it. He probably teaches it. So he came to test Jesus, right? But what Jesus replied to him actually offended him. And he wanting to justify himself, he said, who's my neighbor? And Jesus went to share the parable of the Good Samaritan. See, the parable of the Good Samaritan is just not about helping those who are in need. It is much more than that. We got to look at the context of the parable. All right. Who are the Samaritan and who are the Jews? Right? To the Jews, the Samaritan are unclean people. Many, many years ago, the nation of Israel was attacked by the Assyrian, and they took a group of them back to Nineveh. And those weak, old, sickly are left behind. And then another group of nations came down, and they intermarried. And that's how you got the Samaritan. And then a few years later, the nation of Judah was taken and went to Babylon. And because of the prophecy, one day, they came back. But they came back as one people. They did not intermarry. They remained Jews. And to the Jews, they looked down on the Samaritan. Because Jews are not supposed to intermarry with the other tribes. So to them, the Samaritan are unclean. They are looked down upon. If you read your scripture, there are many portions where it said the Jews have no dealing with Samaritan. And to the Jewish people, they consider Samaritan to dogs. This is the background. And in this parable, we have Jesus narrating, there were the priests who came by. He saw one of his own, robbed, broken, and wounded. What did the priest do? He just walked past. He doesn't want to get his hand dirty. And later on, the Levite, the worship leader, he came. He saw the same thing. And what did he do? He too walked on by. Then came the unclean enemy, the neighbor, whom the Jew despised. And what did he do? The Samaritan man came. And he knew that guy is a Jew. What did he do? He went to help that man. Not only did he help, he went out of the way. He went out of the way. Brought him to the inn. Said that if you look after him, please. Make him well. If there's anything else, any other expenses, when I come back, I will pay you. Who will do such a thing? Especially to your enemy. Especially knowing that this man would not done the same for you. He will probably not touch you because you are unclean. And here we have the priest and the Levite, servant of God, doing the ministry, but do not want to get their hand dirty with their own kind. And here we have a person who's despised and hated. They probably gossip about him. They probably do not have anything to do with him. But what did he do? He went out of the way to help him. That, my friend, is God's kind of love. That is the crux of the parable of the Good Samaritan. So, when Jesus asked him, who is the neighbor? He said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, go and do the same. Go, love your enemy. Do good to those who hurt you. Go, and out of the way. You can't do that on your own. None of us can. Right? It is when we understand the love of God, we understand, we encounter the love of God, then we can love. What is Jesus saying to us today? I'm telling you what he's saying. God's standard of love is much higher than us. Can we reach there? Of course, or else he would not make it the law. He would not have told the teachers of the law. Right? But we cannot do it on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Let us read this together. 1, 2, 3. Amen. While you're reading this scripture verses, I'm reminded yesterday at our house church in Lau Sa Ko. You guys been there before in one of your outreach, right? We were doing house church. A drunken man decided to pop in. Out of the blue, he went in. And then the church members was like, "Yee, you smell, what are you doing here? Please leave." Right? And then Ping, one of my leader, rebuked the church members. I say, "What are you guys doing? Invite the man. Come, please sit with us." And the man sat in the middle among the church member, and they were like, "Oh man, this guy is so disgusting." You know? So, being taught the word. And then at the end of the day, she shared the gospel to this drunken man. And the drunken man said, "I want to receive Jesus Christ." Amen? It's for such as this Christ came down. You know, sometimes we look at them, our skin crawl, we don't have anything to do with them. But I'm so excited. When Ping shared with me, I was so excited. His name is Piao. He said he wants to come again. He wants to learn more about God. He wants to know more about Jesus, who loved him in spite of his condition. Anyway, Jesus told the disciple, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The second is like unto it," means the second is of equal importance to the first. In Aramaic, the word is dharma. And like unto it is the word dharma. It means to imitate or to resemble. So, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And you got to resemble that love, that same love you have for God, to your neighbors. This is what Jesus was referring to. That is really cool. Loving your neighbor as yourself, you are imitating your love for God. So when you love your neighbor, or when you love your enemy, you are imitating your love for God. And the word dharma carries a lot of more punch to it. It comes from the root word dharmam, which is the word for blood or life-giving or life-flowing force. What does it mean? Jesus is saying that our love for God flows into our love for others. But it goes both ways. It flows back as the heart pumps, right? It flows through our body and back to the original source, our heart. Our love for others will cause us to love God all the more. Because it's very impossible to love someone else But when you love, you're able to love, you're encountering the love of God. You see them through the love of God. You appreciate how much God loves you. You will love God even more. So if we love God, we will love our neighbors. If we love our neighbors, we will love God. By learning to love our neighbor, our love for God will grow even more. When we have true love, then we can have true unity. Let us read this verse. 1, 2, 3. Amen. All right. I know a lot of you are still pretty young. Probably you have not experienced a lot of life. Maybe to the older ones, you probably carry more hurts, more experience. But nonetheless, the same is true. God wants you to love those who are not lovely. God wants you to be His love, to show His love, then the world will know Him. Amen? Amen? Do you know what's the meaning of the word amen? So be it unto me. And you know where that word came from? It came from the Hebrew word amin. You know what amin is? Faith. By faith I say amen, O God. So be it unto me, according to your word. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Thank you. Hallelujah. What is God speaking to us? God wants to go deeper. Areas in our lives that you have hidden. Masks that you are wearing. God says, remove it. God says, I want to heal you. I want to heal you. I want to make you whole. I want to restore you. But it comes from surrendering all those to God and then allowing the Spirit of God to work in your life. And they say, God, I want to love my enemies because in doing so, I'm loving you. Does this make sense? Amen. So I want to have a quiet time. I want all of you to process what God is speaking. Some of you have broken relationship. Some of you have people that you do not talk to. God is saying, don't hold it in. Surrender it to me. Forgive. Allow my love to flow into you, heal you. Some of you have been disappointed in relationship. You have made vow. God said, surrender those to me. I want to set you free. Because I want to do a deep work. All of you will be my messenger of my love to those people. How we treat others, meaning how we love or don't love, is a reflection of the condition of our hearts or our understanding of God's love. God wants to set us free. There will be no altar call, nothing. It's only between you and God. If you know God is speaking to you, where you are at, you come to Him. God, I have this issue, this person or that person or whatever. It could even be your parents. release, forgive. God, heal me. Alright? So, can the worship team come? So, let you guys spend that moment, quiet moment between you and God. Holy Spirit, God, your word say, Lord, call us, Lord, to love you and love our neighbors. Many times they are not lovable. Bring revelation of your word. Show us the pain that we carry, the condition that we have in our heart this morning, that we can be set free. Come, Holy Spirit. If God is reminding you of something, just surrender and release. This time is reunion dinner, it's Chinese New Year. Let us come with a brand new start. First with God, and then with others.